Of the Song of Angels, a devout treatise by Master Walter Hilton, taken from The Cell of Self-Knowledge, Seven Early English Mystical Treatises, printed by Henry Pepwell in 1521, and digitized on CCEL. Dear Brother in Christ, I understand by your own speech, and also by another man's telling, that you yearn and desire greatly to have more knowledge and understanding than you have of angel song and heavenly sound, what it is, and in what way it is perceived and felt in a man's soul, and how a man may be sure that it is true and not feigned, and how it is made by the presence of the good angel and not by the inputting of the evil angel. These things you would know from me, but truly, I cannot tell you for a surety the truth of this matter. Nevertheless, something that I think I shall show you in a short word. Know you well that the end and the sovereignty of perfection stands in true union with God and a man's soul by perfect charity. This union, then, is truly made when the powers of the soul are reformed by grace to the dignity and the state of the first condition, that is, when the mind is stabled firmly, without changing and vagation, in God and spiritual things, and when the reason is cleared from all worldly and fleshly beholdings, and from all bodily imaginations, figures, and fantasies of creatures, and is illumined by grace to behold God and spiritual things, and when the will and the affection is purified and cleansed from all fleshly, kindly, and worldly love, and is inflamed with burning love of the Holy Spirit. This wonderful union may not be fulfilled perfectly, continually, and wholly in this life, because of the corruption of the flesh, but only in the bliss of heaven. Nevertheless, the nearer that a soul in this present life may come to this union, the more perfect it is. For the more that it is reformed by grace to the image and the likeness of its Creator here in this way, the more joy and bliss shall it have in heaven. Our Lord God is a being endless without changing, almighty without failing, sovereign wisdom, light, truth without error or darkness, sovereign goodness, love, peace, and sweetness. Then the more that a soul is united, fastened, conformed, and joined to our Lord, the more stable and mighty it is, the more wise and clear, good and peaceable, loving and more virtuous it is, and so it is more perfect. For a soul that has, by the grace of Jesus, and long strain of bodily and spiritual exercise, overcome and destroyed concupiscences and passions and unreasonable impulses within itself, and outside it in the sensuality, and is clothed all in virtues, such as in meekness and mildness, in patience and softness, in spiritual strength and righteousness, in continence, in wisdom, in truth, hope, and charity, then it is made as perfect as it may be in this life. Much comfort it receives from our Lord, not only inwardly in its own hidden nature, by virtue of the union to our Lord that lies in knowing and loving of God, in light and spiritual burning of Him, in transforming of the soul into the Godhead, but also many other comforts, savors, sweetnesses, and wonderful feelings in the diverse and sundry manners in which our Lord deigns to visit His creatures here on earth, and from which the soul profits and waxes in charity. Some soul, by virtue of charity that God gives it, is so cleansed that all creatures and all that he hears or sees or feels by any of his senses turns him to comfort and gladness, and the sensuality perceives new savor and sweetness in all creatures. And just as before time the likings in the sensuality were fleshly, vain, and vicious for the pain of original sin, so now they are made spiritual and clean, without bitterness and biting of conscience. And this is the goodness of our Lord, that since the soul is punished in the sensuality, and the flesh is partner of the pain, that afterwards the soul be comforted in the sensuality, and the flesh is fellow of joy and comfort with the soul, not fleshly, but spiritual, as he was fellow in tribulation and pain. This is the freedom and the lordship, the dignity and the honor that a man hath over all creatures, the which dignity he may so recover by grace here, that every creature feels to him as it is. And that is, when by grace he sees, he hears, he feels, only God in all creatures. In this way, a soul is made spiritual in the sensuality by abundance of charity, that is, in the substance of the soul. Also, our Lord comforts a soul by angel's song. What that song is, it may not be described by any bodily likeness, for it is spiritual and above all manner of imagination and reason. It may be felt and perceived in a soul, but it may not be shown. Nevertheless, I shall speak thereof to you what I think. When a soul is purified by the love of God, illumined by wisdom, made firm by the might of God, then is the eye of the soul open to behold spiritual things, like virtues and angels and holy souls and heavenly things. Then is the soul able, because of cleanness, to feel the touching and the speaking of good angels. This touching and speaking, it is spiritual and not bodily. For when the soul is lifted and ravished out of the sensuality and out of thought of all earthly things, then in great fervor of love and light, if our Lord deigns, the soul may hear and feel heavenly sound, made by the presence of angels in loving of God. Not that this song of angels is the sovereign joy of the soul, but for the difference that is between a man's soul and flesh and an angel, because of uncleanness, a soul may not hear it, except by ravishing in love, and needs to be purified well clean and fulfilled of much charity before it be able to hear heavenly sound. For the sovereign and the essential joy is in the love of God by himself and for himself, and the secondary is in communing and beholding of angels and spiritual creatures. For just as a soul, in understanding of spiritual things, is oftentimes touched and moved through bodily imagination by working of angels, as Ezekiel the prophet did see in bodily imagination the truth of God's privities, just so, in the love of God, a soul, by the presence of angels, is ravished out of mind of all earthly and fleshly things into a heavenly joy, to hear angels' song and heavenly sound, as the soul's charity is, more or less. Now then, I think that no soul may truly hear angels' song nor heavenly sound, except if he be in perfect charity, though not all that are in perfect charity have felt it, but only that soul that is so purified in the fire of love that all earthly savor is burnt out of it, and all little hindrances between the soul and the cleanness of the angels are broken and put away from it. Then truly may he sing a new song, and truly he may hear a blessed heavenly sound, an angel's song, without deceit or feigning. Our Lord knows what soul is worthy, for abundance of burning love, to hear angel's song. Whoso then will hear angel's song, and not be deceived by feigning of himself, nor by imagination, nor by the illusion of the enemy, it behoves him to have perfect charity. And that is when all vain love and dread, vain joy and sorrow, is cast out of the heart, so that it loves nothing but God, and dreads nothing but God, nor joys nor sorrows anything excepting God or for God. Whoso might by the grace of God go this way, he should not err. Nevertheless, some men are deceived by their own imagination, or by the illusion of the enemy in this manner. Some man, when he has long worked bodily and spiritually at destroying of sins and getting of virtues, and peradventure has gotten by grace something of rest and a clarity in conscience, at once he leaves his prayers, readings of Holy Scriptures, and meditations of the Passion of Christ, and the thought of his wretchedness. And before he is called by God, he gathers his own thoughts by violence to seek and to behold heavenly things, before his eye be made spiritual by grace, and by imaginations overworks his wits, and by indiscreet labor turns the brains in his head, and breaks the powers and senses of the soul and of the body. And then, from feebleness of the brain, he thinks that he hears wonderful sounds and songs. And that is nothing else but a fantasy, caused by troubling of the brain. As a man that is in a frenzy thinks that he hears and sees what no other man does. And all is but vanity and fantasies of the head. Or else it is by working of the wicked enemy that feigns such sounds in his hearing. For if a man have any presumption in his fantasies and in his workings, and thereby falls into indiscreet imagination, as it were, in a frenzy, and is not ordered nor ruled of grace, nor comforted by spiritual strength, the devil enters in, and by his false illuminations, and by his false sounds, and by his false sweetnesses, he deceives a man's soul. And from this false ground springs errors and heresies, false prophecies, presumptions, and false reasonings, blasphemings and slanderings, and many other mischiefs. And therefore, if you see any spiritually occupied man fall into any of these sins and these deceits, or into frenzies, know you well that he never heard nor felt angel's song nor heavenly sound. For truly, he that truly hears angel's song is made so wise that he shall never err by fantasy, nor by indiscretion, nor by any trick of the working of the devil. Also, some men feel in their hearts, as it were, a spiritual sound, and sweet songs in diverse manners. And this is commonly good, but sometimes it may turn to deceit. This sound is felt in this way. Some man sets the thought of his heart only on the name of Jesus, and steadfastly holds it thereto. And in short time he thinks that that name turns him to great comfort and sweetness, and he thinks that the name sounds in his heart delectably, as it were a song. And the power of this liking is so mighty that it draws in all the senses of the soul to it. Whoso may feel this sound and this sweetness truly in his heart, know you well that it is of God, and as long as he is meek, he shall not be deceived. But this is not angel's song, but it is a song of the soul, by virtue of the name and by touching of the good angel. For when a soul offers him to Jesus truly and meekly, putting all his trust and his desire in him, and busily keeps him in his mind, our Lord Jesus, when he will, purifies the affection of the soul, and fills it, and feeds it with sweetness of himself, and makes his name to the feeling of the soul like honey, and like song, and like anything that is delectable, so that the soul likes evermore to cry, Jesus, Jesus. And not only does he have comfort in this, but also in psalms and hymns and anthems of Holy Church, so that the heart sings them sweetly, devoutly, and freely, without any strain of the soul, or bitterness at the same time, and follows what Holy Church does. This is good, and from the gift of God, for the substance of this feeling lies in the love of Jesus, which is fed and lit by such songs. Nevertheless, in this manner of feeling, a soul may be deceived by vainglory. Not at that time when the affection sings to Jesus and loves Jesus in sweetness of him, but afterwards, when it ceases and the heart cools off from the love of Jesus, then vainglory enters in. Also, some man is deceived in this way. He hears well talk that it is good to have Jesus in his mind or any other good word of God. Then he strains his heart mightily to that name, and by a custom he has it always near at hand in his thoughts. But nevertheless, he feels not sweetness in his affection by this, nor light of knowing in his reason, but only a naked thought of God, or of Jesus, or of Mary, or of any other good word. Here may be deceit, not because it is evil to have Jesus in mind on this wish, but if he holds this feeling and this thought, that is only his own working by custom for a special visitation of our Lord, and thinks it more than it is. For know you well that a naked thought or a naked imagination of Jesus or of any other spiritual thing, without sweetness of love in the affection or light of knowledge in reason, is but a blindness and a way to deceit, if a man hold it to be more than it is in his own sight. Therefore, I hold it surer that he be meek in his own feeling, and hold this thought as nothing in his regard, till he may, by custom and using of this thought, feel the fire of love in his affection, and the light of knowledge in his reason. Lo, I have told you in this manner a little of what I think, not affirming that this suffices, nor that this is the truth in this matter. But if you think it otherwise, or else any other man savor by grace the contrary to this, I leave this saying and give place to him. It suffices me to live principally on truth and not on feeling. The end. Of Angel's Song was recorded by Maureen O'Brien and also turned into a little more modern English for ease of reading.